I had a farm in Africa. No, that's not true. It wasn't a farm so much as it was a professional regional theater in Baltimore. It was center stage. And I didn't have it as much as I was its public relations manager. And this I did for 2 years, from the fall of 2000 until the spring of 2002 or summer, when they asked me not to work there anymore. And for a long time, I really, oh, obsessed about that, and I mourned it and grieved it, and just carried it around with me. And, hold on, this transition kills me. But every time, it's so soon, and it kills me every time. And I came up with a phrase, oh, that's what it is, I came up with a phrase to understand that experience. And I carry all these phrases with me about that time at Center Stage. And this phrase, that in those 2 years, it took me 1 year to realize that I did not have a seat at the table. And, you know, and then it took me another 6 months to realize, oh, that I really wanted and needed to have it. And the last 4 or 5 months to go completely bonkers trying to get it, becoming this kind of sneaky and scheming, nervous wreck. Those were the last 5 months, and boy, they're still very much in here. But it wasn't always like that, of course. It started out so good. This was like, oh, like this perfect little job at the theater. It's a theater, and here I am, this little Carrie Bradshaw job. And oh, I used to walk to work and stop at Donna's. I lived like 3 blocks away, and Donna's, get my coffee, walk to work. Because isn't that like a great thing about a job? I walk into work and get my coffee. And oh, and then later I would stop at Donna's and get these baguettes. These I would bring to, oh, every Friday we had this espresso hour, okay? Espresso hour on the mezzanine. And everyone, all the stagehand, whatever, the people that made things and the people in the box office, we'd all come. And oh, it was actually very nice. But if you think about it, it's like one of those things that someone would give you, like a sticky apple, to divert your attention. Like, oh, here's an apple, away from the fact that you had no access to decision-making or anything. Oh, it's espresso hour. But I would bring these baguettes, and I would bring this new jar of Nutella. Oh, it was like a big thing. Richard brought the Nutella. Yay! It's Nutella, Richard, right? And I was, like, really popular. So I've learned subsequently that Nutella is, like, just a big jar of trans fat. That's all it is. And so, oh, you know, it was a great, DAC was right there. She could go work out. I like, got this great little body. And sometimes some of the actors would be like in a sauna. And they were, it was like, this great, great job. So like the second day I'm carrying this coffee. And I walk into the lobby. And I sort of start my job the same day that they put in the new carpeting. Like brand, new carpeting. In this new lobby that just renovated. And I walk in. It's kind of awkward. You have to sign in. And up. Like, I swear, every single drop of that coffee was on the carpet. Like, the first day. And so, better go clean it up. If I get someone, I walk back 30 seconds. You could not tell what ever happened. Because that carpet was so kind of evil. And I hated that carpet so much. It sort of symbolized for me everything that was wrong with the institution. Because only an institution that was paralyzed by making a decision could have ended up with this carpeting. I mean, have you seen it? It's just so wrong. And it's wrong. It's like, it looks like the kind of fabric they'd have on a third-rate, disreputable bus service. But it's just a big theater. It should be nice. It should be nice. And it became for me like my yellow wallpaper. You know, like, oh, I'm Charlotte Perkins Gilman or like Oscar Wilde. Either that wallpaper goes or I do is in a Paris hotel room, man. But it did. I became like crazy. Boy, at the end, the last few months, I was so crazy. I remember we had this big meeting in the auditorium in a theater, and it was like with the board of trustees. We had really good trustees. I'm not just saying that, Cheryl. It was true. They were like, these were like people on a board, and this meeting was supposed to be about how, oh, personnel issues. This is when I was crazy, and oh, talk about your, and I became so prepared and so ready for this meeting. I wanted to like just had this whole issue, and so I think the set was still, the theater was still set for A Winter's Tale. We had done that, so I had this metaphor. I thought, I got up there and I said, this theater, these people, they think they're all bohemia. That's the second act of A Winter's Tale. It's all bohemia. Like, all, you know, kind of frolicsome and democratic and egalitarian. But man, really, this theater, it's Cecilia. That's the first act of A Winter's Tale. All repressive and authoritarian and tyrannical. It's Cecilia. So later, like up on the mezzanine, it must have been a Friday, at like an espresso hour, I found this notepad someone had left behind. And I don't know how I knew it was Kyle's, who worked in the shop, but it was Kyle's. It must have had his name on it, I guess. And he was sitting right behind me at the theater. And on this pad, he left it behind. It might have had the date of the meeting, or it said personnel meeting. And there was an arrow, like, pointing toward the top of the pad. And it said, the only thing it said was, "He's crazy." I was like, what could I do? It was true. It was true. I was crazy at that time. But there was this other, the whole bohemia, that doesn't make any sense. But the really resonant thing I came up to describe my experience there about the way it was run was that center stage was, and I don't know if it still is, an institution run by the unhappiest girls from your fifth grade class. And I meant several things by that. I meant it like very, you know, mean. I meant it also very literally, like, oh, you know, like people who are outcast in fifth grade learn like Fantastic Four techniques and strategies like secret keeping and information hoarding and ostracism. And boy, these were masters, I tell you. And no one is more susceptible to that kind of technique than I, because I need constant affirmation and approbation. I need to be loved all the time and just, you know, oh, I had a great BM, and I wiped my ass to, yeah, Richard, that's great. But, oh, I better, yeah, speed it along. So, so these women, oh, I'll give you one example of how that worked. It was about, remember those fish that we had in the city? Remember, like, we were there in front of all the institutions, and Center Stage was going to sponsor one, right? And so it was, I got to do it. Like, that's when I was still, like, in their graces. And so I got to sort of conceive of what the fish would be and sort of make a decision about it. And our fish was William Shakespeare. Now, I know, but this fish was so adorable. You can't even believe it. And they put it in the most prominent position in the city, like the foot of Mount Vernon Place. And then if you open a book that he made about the fish, it's on the first page. So when the whole thing was over, one of our trustees bought back the fish for us, for the institution, so we could have it, William Shakespeare. And what do? These people put it in the lobby. It's an outdoor public sculpture, but they put it in the lobby. And, you know, no one could see it because of, you know, the carpeting. You can't at all. So what do? I need to get that fish outside. I think it's important to get that fish outside. And so I start, what do you do at Center Stage when you're not at the table and you can't go to the meetings? You have to go up to this guy and say, what do you think? What do you think about the fish? Should it go outside? Well, I think it's a good idea. So then you can say, oh, that person thought it was a good idea. And you go to the next person and you start accumulating support. But then you can make the mistake going to the wrong person. And if you go to the wrong person and that person says no, well, that's it. It's all over. And don't you see that if you got to sit at the table, then you could say, what about the fish being outside? And someone could say, no, it's a bad idea. But someone else might come in and say, no, that's a great idea. So that's the whole thing about the table. You can persuade people. So that was, man. Hold on. Oh, can I just tell you really quickly, the craziest thing I did was about the last show we did. The very last show we did was the show we imported from New York. It's the only time we ever did that. It was called And God Created Great Whales. It was based on Moby Dick. And I got to go up and see it first before anybody at Center Stage. So this was the one time I could sort of own something. I could know more about it than all the other people at Center Stage. And that was really, really important to me. And so I learned all about Melville and Moby Dick. And here's one thing I learned was that Moby Dick, the fish, is not hyphenated. When it's in the text, it's Moby Dick. But the title of the book is Moby fucking hyphen Dick. It just is, and it is, and it is, and it is, and it's not, it is. So I'm like, email, like, in the future, hyphen for Moby Dick, and not for not. And so my boss comes up to me. She's about to put all of the brochures, and she says to me, Richard, because here's how crazy I was. Richard, I've just got to tell you that in the brochures, we're not going to put the hyphen in. We're going to make it consistent. I say, okay. So I sent an email. I sent an email to my friend Jim, who's like this dramaturg at Center Stage. He's like, respect it. And I say, Jim, okay, when you get the brochures, correct it. Make it fine. Like, correct it so, hyphen from Moby Dick. And then what Jim does, I just don't know why, is sends out an email saying, what's this whole thing about hyphens? Of course hyphens. So completely exposed me as a sneak and a betrayer. It was all over that. Here are the few lessons I learned from the thing, is that I do have this thing about needing to be respected and at the table. So the choice is either go to work in an institution where you can get it, or go to an institution where you can't get it at all. The other thing is that I learned was that none of it would have mattered. None of it. Not the table, or the fish, or the carpeting, or the hyphen especially, if I'd been getting laid at any point in the time. And that's funny, but it's true. But what I really mean is if I had someone to come home to, and that person could have said, are you just let it go. Let it go. And that's it.